I feel I want to use this time that we're in with Jesus being the center. And I really felt it in the week, heavy on my heart, that we will stand together and pray for our country. But not our country as South Africa, the hearts of the people in our country. Because God made this country beautiful. South Africa is beautiful. You cannot deny that. But it's the people's hearts that needs to turn to the Lord. And tonight I want to use that. So I've got a couple of three people that got words. I want to release them to read that. And then I'm going to share something with you. And I want to let us form groups of three. And I'll give you the pointers that we're quickly going to pray for. But I really want to let you keep this in your hearts. Jesus be the center. Because at the end of the day, it's Jesus. This country needs Jesus. The people in their hearts need Jesus. He is the only answer for our country. So I was wondering, those people that gave words, Jonathan, Devin, Nita, if you can please come to the front.
Psalm 91, verse 4. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings may you seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. What I was sensing as well, just before eagle doesn't fight a snake on the ground where the snake will take advantage over you, but it grabs the snake and takes it up in the air, and where the snake is rendered useless. What I'm sensing is we must stand in prayer and keep praying, lift it up to the heavens where whatever is bothering us, whatever the country needs, is with the eagle, not on the ground where it's powerful with the snake.
Isaiah 45, verse 24. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are righteousness and strength. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame.
In this difficult time that we are going through, we're part of the nation and part of the bride. I just hear the Lord saying, how do we engage? We engage with prayer and intercessions. We're seated in heavenly realms. The heavenly realms are actually our territory. And the Lord is calling for the bride, the church, to stand up and take a rightful place. And he speaks this over us. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies.
Amen. I was driving in the week, and it's interesting. While I was driving, the previous night heard this thing that they declared as a junk state. And I was driving, and I thought, no, this does not feel right. Because in my heart, I am more than a conqueror. In Christ Jesus, I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a chosen nation. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. So I really felt that to speak this word out, that no matter what they declare over us, we know our identity in Christ Jesus. And with that, what we know, we will rise above whatever, whoever speaks over us. And we will live our true identity. And we will come from a place of seated in heavenly places and speak into situations and speak them right. With God's kingdom, advancing God's kingdom. And the scripture I got, I was also thinking, and maybe I should just share that as well. You know, when David had an opportunity to kill Saul, he didn't, because he honored him for who he was. So many times we just pray, remove, remove, remove. But something the Lord showed me is David's heart. The way his heart was in honoring, people remember that. And us as Christians, as we stand together with the right attitude of love, that will turn the hearts. Not remove, 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 but acting in the opposite spirit, acting it in spirit of love. The scripture I got was 2 Chronicles 7:14. And Solomon was speaking to the Lord, and the Lord said this to him. And if my people who are called by my name become humble and pray, we're going to do that now, and look for me. In other translations, it says, seek my presence, which we're also going to do now. And we've been doing all night. And turn away from the evil ways, which we're going to pray for, that the people will turn away from the evil ways. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So I want us to form groups of three or four or five. I don't mind. Form groups. And in your group, pray, Lord, help the people to repent. We seek your face for this country and for their hearts on their behalf. We come and seek your presence. We ask them to come to a place of repentance, point number one. And secondly, that they will ask forgiveness of their sins. And we pray that you will come and heal our land. In this case, Lord, heal our hearts. Let's take 5 or 10 minutes and really just seek the Lord. I want you to go into groups. If the worship team can carry on playing, it's cool. And you can also pray there. That's also cool. Thank you. But let's really pray in this time and ask the Lord to come and heal our land and touch our hearts. so Father, we pray that we will fall in line with your word. I pray, Father God, that you will stir in our hearts to be the difference. Not to keep asking, Lord, for something and not be willing to be the difference. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will raise up people that needs to be standing up and speaking out. I pray that you'll give people boldness to speak up, Lord. I pray that you'll help us as Christians and us as followers of Christ to raise the standard, Lord, that in our lives people will see this is the way to live, but that they will see your love shine through our lives towards them. Father, we call those in government who's not serving you, we call them into your kingdom in Jesus' name. We pray for their hearts to turn to you. I pray that your presence will rest thick on them, that they will turn to you, that they will humble themselves, repent, and Father, come to know you, a loving Father. It's not a selfish prayer, Lord. We want them to experience your love, what we actually experiencing every day. Those people that's over authority over us, that's empty, that need your love in their lives. I pray, Father God, that you will come and grab them like the eagle grabbing the snake, that you will grab them that way, that they will just get a glimpse of you and their hearts will turn to you. Thank you, Lord, that I can speak against any spirit of fear wants to come upon your people in South Africa. I come against it in Jesus' name, and we speak out hope because we know we have Jesus and he is our hope. You, Jesus, are our hope, and we believe in you. Nothing is impossible for you. Lord, then I want to pray for the church as a whole, not just Hatfield, every church in South Africa, in the world, in this time in the world, that your church will unite and stand together to be the bride of Christ you've destined us to be. That we will come to know you in an intimate way, and that you will give us peace above all understanding in this times we are in, to face whatever we need to face because we have peace and hope because of you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. What a privilege it is to be able to love you and to experience your love, the living Christ. Amen. Thank you so much for praying with us. I really believe it's like a bucket of prayer together, powerful, and trusting that the Lord will really, his word never turns to him void, and whatever we pray, it will come true. Do you believe that? Amen. So, tonight, I'm just going to say it. We've got a Texan preaching. Whoa! Amen. Cool. Mike, if you can come forward, please. I am super excited because I know what God's laid on Mike's heart to preach. And I know it's something that we all need to hear. So if you don't mind, I would love to pray for you before you preach. Yeah. Father, thank you for Mike. Wow. Father, thank you for this big guy with such a gentle, loving, servant heart. Lord, I pray that as he preaches, you will anoint him, but as he preaches, he will also be filled with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for him and his family, for what they do for your kingdom. And that this preaching to us is just a small part of what actually is going on behind the scenes. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much. Wow. What a privilege to be with you tonight. Amazing church. Jesus loves this church, amen? So do I. So I want to open with kind of a weird story. Way back in the 80s, there was an American comedian who got frustrated with airlines and the whole routine on airlines. And I mean, he really was venting about it. He was talking about the seatbelts, and they go on and on about the seatbelts, and they show you the seatbelt, and they come by and they check your seatbelt, and now you must put your blanket under your seatbelt. So much about it. He's like, okay, I'm wearing my seatbelt. Fine, look, here's my seatbelt, you know. And he said about halfway through the flight, he felt this crazy explosion this side and another one this side, and all the engines are gone on the plane. And immediately, man, this plane starts barreling at a 70-degree angle towards Earth, you know. And he's like, man, I should be afraid, but wait, I've got my seatbelt on. And the guy next to me going, oh, aren't you afraid? Why, no, I've got my seatbelt on. But then the cabin depressurized, and he didn't know what all that meant every time they talk about it. But he realized his diaphragm's moving, but no oxygen is getting in. He's struggling. He's like, I can't breathe. I'm breathing, but I can't breathe. This is crazy. I need that mask they were talking about. Where's that mask? And finally, the thing opened and the masks fell. But we're going at a 70-degree angle, so the mask didn't fall here. The mask fell out there. And I can't reach it because I got my seatbelt on. So here's a guy who needed to do something, but he had a restraint that hindered him from doing what he needed to do. And we're going to look tonight at a guy who had lots of restraints, and it would seem that he had lots of hindrances. But there's this amazing word in Acts chapter 28, verse 31. And we want to have a look at this. So I studied in the 1984 revision of the New International Version, because I'm an 80s child, you know. So if mine doesn't sound like yours, don't worry. It's all translated from Greek. It says, boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Without hindrance. So if you take notes like I do and you like to put a title on top of the page, or if you like to give your little Evernote thing a title, you can put unhindered. We're going to talk about unhindered tonight. I noticed the newer translations really try to paraphrase that thing. And I was reading one verse, and it said, and no one tried to stop him. And if you look at the rest of the book of Acts and read about Paul's life, yeah, I don't buy that for a minute. All they did was try to stop him. That's all they did the whole time. You look in the Greek, the very last word in the book of Acts, the very last word is unhindered. So the Greek says he boldly preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ unhindered. And that's the end of the book. How many of you have ever read Acts 28 and felt like, yes, man, you just finished, and you're done? I mean, that's a very unsatisfying end. That's like going to a cheap movie and it ends and you're like, well, what happens next? It's the worst kind of cliffhanger. Anyone ever felt that way? It feels so abrupt. And I felt that way every time I've read it, until I read a commentary this week, and the commentary drew my attention to this word, unhindered. He preached the gospel unhindered, and I remembered from studying about the book of Acts, what was the point of the book of Acts? It's the spread of the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I remembered Acts 1:8. They said this is the key verse of the whole book. And what is Acts 1:8? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And as I read that, I feel hunger again. Holy Spirit, would you come? I need to be a witness again. I need to move in that power, because Jesus promised it. You know, and all those other promises are great, but this is the one in this hour that I want to latch on to. You said I would have power to be your witness. Is anyone else getting hungry for that? Oh, Lord, you know what? South Africa probably does need the RAN to improve, but you know what they need a lot more? South Africa needs Jesus, right? That's what we need. So I want to have power to be his witness. So if that's what the book is about, Luke chose his ending very strategically. Beginning of the book, You're going to receive power, and you're going to be my witnesses. Last statement of the book. Oh, he preached the gospel unhindered, and he declared the kingdom of God unhindered. And Luke was like, finish it, klar, eh? Done. Beautiful. It's a powerful thing, unhindered. But you look in the context of chapters 27 and 28, and not to mention the rest of the whole book, okay? But just chapters 27 and 28, and there's nothing but hindrance in those chapters. I mean, have a look. It is full of hindrances. So I want to make this statement to you tonight. There were hindrances around Paul, but there were no hindrances in Paul. There were hindrances around him, but there were no hindrances in him. And you know what? Amazing church in South Africa. There might be hindrances all around you, but I want to declare tonight that there are no hindrances in you. And I pray that every one of us leave tonight unhindered for the gospel of Jesus to explode out of us at every opportunity. Amen. Because the rand can't stop the gospel of Jesus. Amen. A junk status can't stop the kingdom of God. Amen. There might be hindrances around us, but there are no hindrances in us. I just want to take a few minutes and look at these hindrances that were around Paul. Because I think they have, and I think they can speak to our lives today. Is that okay? Let's have a look. The first thing I see in chapters 27 and 28 is setbacks. And a lot of them, man. A lot of them. What does he want? All he wants in life at this point is to get to Rome, right? And to spoil the story for you, he got there. You know, and then the book ends abruptly. But most scholars understand that after the book of Acts finishes, he got out of prison in Rome, and he went back and he visited several churches, and then he went through modern day France all the way to Spain. And preach the gospel there. So, just to spoil the rest of the story for you. But there are so many setbacks in this chapter. First of all, there's hard sailing. In the beginning of chapter 27, they're trying to sail and everything's going wrong. Right? It's hard sailing. And so they get way, way behind. Now it's too late in the year. And, you know, I've never even been to the Mediterranean. But I guess in the fall, it's not lacquer to try to sail. I guess nobody takes their yachts out and their sailboats out in October, November in the Mediterranean, at least in this part of it. So he said, listen, Oaks, it's gonna be crazy. We need to winter right here. And they ignored his advice, another setback. And, of course, they get out, and here comes a typhoon. And Paul's like, people, I told you. And then the ship wrecked. And he's thinking, I just want to go to Rome. What even is this place? And he found out it's Malta, you know. He's in Malta, and now it's 3 more months in Malta. Setback after setback after setback. Has anyone here ever felt setback? You ever experienced delays and the frustration of delays? Remember, the kingdom of God is bigger than your delays. The kingdom of God will survive your setback. And you will outlive every one of your setbacks. Another hindrance that we see in chapters 27 and 28 is chains. So the chains on Paul's body couldn't hinder him. His setbacks couldn't hinder him. And his chains couldn't hinder him. He was treated favorably by the centurion that was in charge of him. But he was a prisoner, right? He was still a prisoner. He was a prisoner under house arrest. And in verse 20, he admits that he is in chains. And I've read several scholars who suggest that he was chained to a guard. 3 guards a day, 8-hour shifts. So they got a break from the chain, and he did not. You know, and especially, listen, if these Oaks didn't shower, you know, hey, it's not fine, you know? It's just really not fine. 2 years chained up to a stinky soldier, right? All these chains, in-house arrest, no freedom to move around. And what did he do in these chains, in this place, with that, like the seatbelt across the guy? I just want my oxygen mask, and I can't get it because of the stupid seatbelt, right? What did he do in these chains? He wrote 4 amazing letters that became part of the New Testament. And he had house guests. Over and over and over and over and over. And from his chains, he ministered to hundreds and hundreds of people. And a church was born in Rome from a man in chains. He preached the gospel relentlessly. So the chains on Paul's body could not hinder him. There were chains around him. There were hindrances around him. There were hindrances on him. But there were no hindrances in him. And when we leave tonight, there will be no hindrances in us. Amen? One more hindrance that I see just in these chapters. If you read the previous few chapters in Acts, you're going to make a pretty long list. Paul had a lot of practice learning to live unhindered. Another one is rejection. Rejection couldn't hinder Paul. The first house guests he had were his own people, right? Jews. And we're going to mention later that he's a Jew. But listen, this was a Roman-ruled world and a Greek-educated world, and they were not kind to Jews, right? So at least his own people, right, would accept him favorably. But you look here in chapter 28 towards the end, and his own people reject him. They reject him. They reject his message. So rejection is another hindrance that's around Paul, but it's not in him. Amen? It's not in him. And look, that's also nothing new for him. Everywhere he went to the Jews first, and they rejected him. And then he went to the Gentiles and built the church. So here we have these three things all around Paul, and he's gone through all this stuff. Listen, they stoned him and left him for dead. They tried to plan ambushes, even though he was in Roman captivity. They tried to plan ambushes to kill him. He went through so many things, and then the hard sailing, and then the shipwreck, and then being chained to soldiers for 2 years. And finally, they had his trial. And his accusers from Jerusalem didn't even pitch up to the trial. So the guys in Rome said, well, I guess that's it then. Off you go. And he was a free man, you know. And I'm sure that Luke was there. Luke was one of his traveling buddies. And after everything he went through, after all this, you know, he could have said, Ebuti riahai. He could have said, Siakoduka. Hey, we're going home. I'm done. Nobody would have blamed him, right? Nobody would have blamed him. So what is going on here? Is Paul some kind of superhuman? Was Paul this mega talented? Maybe Paul's just more talented than me. Because I don't know about you. Anyone else in here? I have wanted to quit more than a couple of times, right? Am I the only one? It was a one-person support group for me, you know, right? So here's Paul. Is he superhuman? No. Paul learned to tap into something. There was something inside of Paul that was bigger than everything around Paul. And I want to remind myself and everyone here tonight that there's something in you and me that is bigger and everything around me. And I'm going to explore this thing of something being in us that's bigger than everything around us. But I want to challenge you. I want to ask you, as we proceed, would you be thinking about that? This concept of God by his Spirit living in me. And really examine yourself and ask, is that true? Does God live in me? You know, I come to church, you know, because mom and dad made me come to church, or because a cute girl invited me. Hey, it's all good, you know. However you got here, I'm just glad you're here, right? But ask yourself, and if you've never looked Jesus, theoretically, in the eye and said, be my Lord, be my Savior, and this life, it belongs to you, right? If you've never done that, if you just come to church and do the things, I want to challenge you before tonight's over that you make that decision, okay? Because then there will be something inside of you that's bigger, way bigger, amen? Come on, way bigger than anything. The whole book of Acts, according to Donald C. Stamps, is about the triumphant spread of the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit. That sounds good, right? It wasn't just Paul, hey? It was the whole, look at, it, when you read the book of Acts, it's not just Paul that suffers these things. It's everybody. They were murdered and driven from their homes. They were thrown in jail and their families were scattered. They lost their jobs. They lost possessions. They lost loved ones. And through all this, the gospel still spread. Because there was something inside these believers that was bigger than everything around them. Hey, it wasn't just the apostles. It wasn't just, you know, the 12 and Paul. It was everybody. And what was inside these guys? What was inside these people to survive these crazy things? I don't know about you, but I have never been chased out of my own home because of my faith. I've never watched loved ones die. I've never had to pay any of that kind of price. I've never been told I can't get a job because of my faith. It has not happened to me. I bet it's happened to someone or even here among us, but it's never happened to me. But these folks survived all of that. And how could they survive that? Because something inside of them was unsinkable, untamable, incomparable, and uncontainable. The Spirit of the living God inside them. And I want to tell you, if you've given your heart to Christ, He's inside of you. Unsinkable, uncontainable, untamable, uncomparable Spirit of the living God. Bigger than everything you'll ever face. Bigger than everything that'll ever come after you. Bigger than everything that faces your family, and more powerful than everything that faces this nation. The Holy Spirit is the greatest. Jesus is the greatest. Amen? And He lives inside of us. So another spoiler, the church has no excuse to be sad and pitiful. We have no excuse to worry. Come on, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lives inside of us. I promise you, whatever happens in this nation or any other nation on the planet, the kingdom of God will continue to expand. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to be right there in the thick of it. These people were rejected, but the Holy Spirit can handle rejection. They were attacked and beaten and left for dead, but the courage of the Holy Spirit is bigger than the fear of man. They were driven from their homes, but the Holy Spirit settled them in new communities, and they just advanced the kingdom of God there, wherever they found themselves. They were assaulted on every side by the world's bad news, but their good news was always bigger than the world's bad news. And you might have think we got some bad news this week here in this beautiful country. But come on, the good news is way bigger than the bad news. The gospel. These believers had a hold of something bigger than them and bigger than anything in the world. It's unstoppable. It's unbeatable. It's undefeated, unconquered, and unmatched. It's the kingdom of God. Amen. Unstoppable, undefeatable. The kingdom of God has been accused. It's been vilified. It's been persecuted. It's been diluted. Folks have tried to corrupt it. Folks have tried to deny its very existence. But 2,000 years later, the kingdom of God is still growing and spreading. Isaiah said this, of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. There's no stopping Christ, the King of Kings. There's no stopping His kingdom. And if you're trying to advance His kingdom, there's no stopping you. Amen? Do you believe that tonight? Unhindered. Unhindered. You know what? I don't mind if my own agenda and my own dreams get hindered. I really don't mind. God, I lay it down. I lay it all down. Whatever I thought it was going to be, whatever I thought was going to happen, if that stuff gets hindered, if that stuff doesn't work out, I lay it down. But I know this, the gospel will advance unhindered. The kingdom of God will advance unhindered. And I'm hitching my wagon to that train. That's where I'm going. There's no one like Him. There's nothing like Jesus. There's nothing like His kingdom. We need to be far more in awe of Jesus than anything else. There's a pianist from Arkansas, a really small town. Has anyone ever heard of Arkansas? Wow. Like, the American, of course you have. Yeah, you had to memorize the capital, right? What's the capital of Arkansas? Boom. All right. Nice. And my kids had to study the capitals of the South African provinces, and they were like stressing out. And I'm looking at it, there's only 9. Come on, guys. I had to study 50 of these things, you know? But this Arkansas is this tiny little state, and it's kind of like the Free State, man. You know, wow, it's, yeah, hayseeds and all that. But there's this little old town there, and this pianist comes from this town, and she is full of the Holy Ghost, and she can play, and she can preach too. But she had a mutual friend that she taught piano lessons to, who grew up to be the president of the United States. So this guy, it was Bill Clinton. I don't know if you're allowed to say president's name, so strike it from the record. This guy would call this little old lady from this tiny town to play at events like state funerals and other things. So she ended up playing in front of rock stars and movie stars and presidents and emirs and diplomats and sheiks and I mean, you name it, she played in front of it. The most powerful people from a worldly perspective in the world, the most famous people. And every now and then, someone would ask her, how do you handle that? How do you handle, aren't you nervous? You're playing and you look and, man, there's Phil Collins on the front row. Oh my gosh, there's the president of France. There's the queen of England. How do you handle that? And she said this, I'll never forget hearing this lady say this. She said, honey, every morning in my prayer closet, when Jesus walks in, he impresses me more than any of them. Are you impressed with Jesus? Are you impressed with him? Because he lives inside of you. And if he doesn't yet, let's pray tonight and sort that out. Amen? Who wouldn't want the King of Kings to live inside? There's something inside of you that is bigger than anything around you. I'm reading a book by an American pastor named Kyle Eidelman. And in his book, he says, wouldn't it be silly if we went to heaven and asked David, so David, what was it like, you know, to kill a lion with your bare hands, and to kill this big, mighty, giant warrior with armor and sword, and you know, and you just killed him with little old rock. David, what was that like? David would look at you like, really? Forget that. What was it like to have God living inside of you? Please tell me what that was like. Because I just had his spirit come on me here and there, and I heard his voice a little bit. But you had God living inside of you. Tell me what it was like. What are we doing with that gift, hey? What if you went up to Noah and said, wow, Noah, man, what was it like? You know, God told you to build an ark and everybody made fun of you and then you did it anyway. You know, and all those animals, wow, you know, were there dinosaurs or was it just, you know, like normal animals, you know? And you ask him this question and he looks at you almost hurt, you know, and he says, I had to preach a message of judgment. And I had to watch horrors. And I had to watch everybody die. Why don't you tell me what was it like to have a message of hope and restoration and salvation? You got the good end of this deal. What was it like to carry the hope of the world in your heart? What was that like? Because I'm jealous of you. Amen? What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? Because there is something inside of you that is bigger than anything around you. Amen? So that was really heavy talking about Noah, but I want us to be encouraged. We get to carry a message of hope and healing and restoration to the world. Amen. I get to come to this beautiful nation, and things happened in this nation that I shouldn't speak of because I didn't experience it. And I don't know what it was like, you know? And so I don't have a right to talk about it. But I know this, that the cross was big enough to pay for all of that sin, not just that we committed against Jesus, but that we committed against one another. Right? And if Jesus could take my disgusting, foul self and reconcile me to the Father, he can reconcile anybody to anybody else. And I get to bring a message of hope to this amazing nation that there's reconciliation and there's healing and the cross. Amen? We get to, not just me, but all of us, we get to bring hope to everywhere we are. Real hope, real reconciliation. You know, even in my nation, there was inequality and horrible things. And I can't fix what they did to your granddaddy. I can't. But Jesus can heal you right now. Jesus can heal you. Jesus can reconcile all of us. Does anyone else believe that with me? Yes, man. So how do we respond to this? I want to ask you, do you want to carry the hope of the world everywhere you go? Do you want to carry the life of Christ everywhere you go? I'm so done with bless me prayers. And I'm so grateful. God has blessed me. Thank you, Jesus. Please do not remove your blessing. But if that's all we ever pray, Jesus did not die and rise again so I could have a good parking spot in front of the mall. He died and rose again so we could bring hope and life and healing across this world. Amen? Let's do it, hey? Let's do it. So how do we respond to this? Ask yourself a question. Am I more moved by what's around me than by who is in me? You know? This is when I got the news. Was it Monday night? You know, I flipped my phone and here's Twitter, you know, and they're reporting on the credit rating. I'm like, oh, man, bummer. My heart broke for this nation that I get to live in. It's a privilege to live here. It's such a privilege. It's a beautiful place. And my heart broke for this nation. But I did not allow myself to wallow in that spot. I said, Jesus, you're bigger than a credit rating. You're so much bigger. And in my heart, I chose to run to hope. But I want to ask, but sometimes it's not just big national news. Sometimes it's things happening in our work environment or in our home. You know, just difficult, painful things. And ask yourself, am I more moved by what's around me than by who is in me? What is moving me more? And I want to come to the place where I'm more moved by who is in me. So let's look at these three things quickly that Paul faced. It's in those three chapters. So maybe there's something around these. So the first one I want to look at is rejection. I want to ask you, will you be courageous with me tonight? Right? I'm standing in front of you with my weird accent, you know, and hoping that y'all accept me, you know. So would you be courageous and join me? And if any of these things, if the Holy Spirit touches your heart or if you see something, would you respond, right? I want to ask you. So the first one is rejection. Has anyone in here been ostracized for your faith? I have friends who were literally thrown out of their families and their surname taken away from them. I got friends with one name. What's your name? Murti. Murti who? I don't have a surname anymore. You know? Have you been ostracized by your family? Have you been made fun of? Do you have friends who left you because of your faith? Has there been any kind of such thing? Have family and friends cast you aside? Have you been spurned by those who... Have you shared your faith with someone, they laughed at you or they rejected what you did? Have you been denied a certain job because of your faith? Is anything like that, any sort of rejection, maybe not even because of your faith? Have you had rejection because people were ugly to just you? I experienced that in grade one in school. People just decided, you know, there's a pecking order and somebody's got to get picked on, right? And I was the winner. Didn't feel like it, right? If you've encountered any rejection and it's a hindrance around you, and you don't want it to be a hindrance in you, would you mind standing? I know it's a courageous thing, but would you please stand? Right? Now, folks, the church is a community. Amen? So I'm going to give the rest of you the opportunity. We're going to take 2 minutes, and we're going to move in community. Right? So this is not an issue for you. Find someone who's standing and surround them. Please don't let any person who's standing have less than 2 people around them. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Everybody, let's surround those who suffered from rejection, and let's embrace them, because this is the church. We're a family. We're a community. And I want to tell you something. You are accepted because God decided you were. You're accepted in Christ. You don't have to look a certain way, and you don't have to come from a certain place, and you don't have to come from a certain income. You don't have to perform. You don't have to do anything. You are accepted because God decided it, right? So you guys begin to pray for your brothers and sisters. Father, we lift them up in Jesus' name. We break the power of rejection over people's lives right now in the name of Jesus. We declare that rejection shall not be a hindrance or an issue in their lives anymore. I speak over my brothers and sisters. They are accepted in Christ. They are accepted in Christ. And they're more than accepted. They're celebrated. God, you celebrate us. You enjoy us. You smile when we walk in the room, God. And Lord, I pray right now that every person in here would feel the smile of the Father warming their hearts, warming their faces, God. I thank you. You smile over us. You embrace us. You do more than accept us. You don't tolerate us. You celebrate us. You enjoy us. Now release the acceptance of Christ on every person in this room. We declare in the name of Jesus, rejection shall not be a hindrance in your life in the name of Jesus. And we speak as a community of believers that God has called together in Pretoria in South Africa. And we say, you're part of this family and you belong. And I celebrate you. I welcome you and I celebrate you. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Sure. Isn't it good to be community? I'm telling you, your Father God looks at you and says, I celebrate you. He says, I like you. How do we respond to this? What about setbacks? The next two things, I'm going to go over both of these things. And I want to ask you, and you know what, worship family, if you guys want to come and minister, if people come, that would be great. You know, just hear what the Holy Spirit's saying and say it. Amen. Right. I'm going to just mention these two things, and I want to challenge you. If you identify this thing, or if the Holy Spirit touches you, maybe you can't even put it in words, but just something pricks you in your heart, would you come and make an altar? Just come. I don't really feel that I'm going to need to, you know, lay hands on everybody. That's not what I sense in my spirit. I sense just to make of an altar, you and Jesus, and you settle this thing tonight. Amen? It's going to take courage, especially for the first one. But come on, let's do this thing, right? So I'm going to mention these two things and then invite you to come. The first one is setbacks. And I just want to say this, you know, setbacks, things went wrong. I expected this to happen, but it didn't. This happened, you know. A message was preached right here about 3 years ago by my friend Seth. And he said he thought God was sending him to Florida, and they denied his visa so many times he can't apply for a visa anymore. So what did he do? God, what are you telling me? Well, now he's preaching the gospel in South Africa, right? He didn't stay hindered by his setbacks. He said, well, God, what are you saying, right? Any setbacks that's happened in your personal life or around, if you're worried about what's happening in South Africa, you know, because there's been a setback, if that's really got you concerned, maybe you need to come settle that tonight. So, Lord, I'm not going to be set back. And I want to just encourage you with this. If the first century church can handle the sadistic, wicked Roman government. Multiple ways of deadly persecution, economic ostracism, then we can handle the bad exchange rate and junk status. We can. We can, because the gospel's bigger. The kingdom of God is bigger. So if you suffered setbacks, I want to encourage you, just come down and make an altar and say, God, there's hindrances around me, but I don't want them to be in me. And now you can come whenever you like, whenever you're ready. Just come and make an altar before the Lord. Say, God, I'm not going to be set back anymore. Speak to me, God, and I want to not be hindered. Lord, let your gospel, let your truth come out of my life. Amen. And I want to invite you, come make an altar. The next one is chains. How do we respond to chains? Paul faced racism. Did you know that? He was a Jew, and it was a Roman-ruled world and a Greek-educated culture, and they didn't like Jews. Paul faced imprisonment. Paul faced multiple attempts on his life, but the King of Kings inside of him overshadowed all of it, and that same King is inside of you. So do you have chains of unforgiveness in your life? Do you have chains of pain or injustice in your life? There's been severe injustice in this beautiful nation. Have you suffered? Has your family suffered injustice? Does it feel like a hindrance around you? I want to invite you, won't you come and make an altar? Won't you come and make an altar? Say, God, this hindrance is there, but I'm going to acknowledge tonight that you're bigger than that thing. You're bigger than that thing, and you're going to overcome that thing in my life. And this hindrance, this pain, these chains are not going to define me. I will be defined by who Jesus says that I am and by nothing else. And would you let the Lord heal you tonight? Would you let the Lord take those chains off of you tonight? Hallelujah. I want to ask one more question. Have you ever received Christ as your Lord? All night long, we talk about there's something inside of you that's bigger than everything around you. But if you've never, in prayer, looked Jesus in the eye and say, Lord, you know what? I believe it. You did get born of a virgin. You did live a sinless life. You died on a cross and you died for my sins. Man, and I sure don't deserve that. And then you rose from the dead. I believe it, Jesus. I believe you. I believe who you are. I believe everything you said. Now, I want to belong to you. Please be my Lord. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I give my life to you now. If you have never said that to Jesus, he wants to put his life inside of you tonight. There's no reason to wait any longer. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? There's more to life than coming to church and hoping everything's going to be all right. And if you're not sure, won't you please come? Won't you please come now? It takes courage, but look, here's all these folks in the altar seeking God, and God's meeting them. And they've also come down to say, you know what, Jesus, I want to belong to you. I want to be yours. So if you've never given your life to Christ, would you come? Won't you come? Settle that thing tonight. Amen? Jesus, there's no one like you. There's no one like you. Jesus, we exalt you. Lord, I thank you in this altar that you are meeting your people. I thank you that you are settling issues once and for all. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're lifting your people above hindrances. And I speak over everyone in this altar that we're surrounded by hindrances maybe, but there are no hindrances in us. And if you agree with the prayer I'm about to pray, I would like you to say amen. I'm about to pray this, and I just want to know, everyone in the house, if you agree. Father, would you take this community of believers and advance your kingdom through us? God, would you advance your kingdom through us? Lord, every one of us, all 500 or 600 of us that come here and we party, we enjoy you. God, you're so good. But Lord, would you enlarge your kingdom through us? Would you win the lost through us, Lord God? Would you win the lost? Would you bring hope to this beautiful nation through us? God, we want to do more than be blessed. We want to extend your blessing, God. We want to extend your kingdom. God, we want to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I live in Vatacliff Glen. Your kingdom come, your will be done in Vatacliff Glen as it is in heaven. Come on, where do you live? I dare you to say your suburb to God out loud right now. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in Vatacliff Glen as it is in heaven. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in Vatacliff Glen as it is in heaven. Come on, where do you live? Your kingdom come, your will be done in Nomapias as it is in heaven. God, your kingdom come, your will be done in Yesteras as it is in heaven. God, your kingdom come, your will be done in Shoshangude as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done in Sunnyside as it is in heaven. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God, Gauteng is the Lord's and everything in it. South Africa is the Lord's and everything in it. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God, I'm not just crying out that you would do some great supernatural thing out there for me to celebrate and look at. God, would you do it through me? God, here's my hands. Here's my hands. Your kingdom come. Your will be done through my hands as it is in heaven. Come on, somebody. God, here's my face. Here's my face, God. Smile at somebody through me. Your kingdom come. Your will be done through my face as it is in heaven. God, here's my feet. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done through my feet as it is in heaven. God, I declare everywhere I step, it belongs to you. And everything in it belongs to you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because we declare that your kingdom shall advance unhindered in this land. We're not going to wait for a new political system. We're not going to wait for a new political party. We're not going to wait for a better credit rating. We're not going to wait for a better exchange rate. We're not going to wait for anything of this world. Right now, Lord, advance your kingdom in this nation. The kingdom of God shall advance unhindered in this nation. We're not waiting. Our hope is not in economics. Our hope is not in politics. Our hope is in Christ and Christ alone. Our hope is in Christ and Christ alone. Lord, now, Lord, advance your kingdom in this nation. Now, Lord, advance your kingdom in this nation. Now, Lord, advance your kingdom in the city of Pretoria. Now, Father God, we cry out. Lord, we cry out. Pour out your spirit on this city. Pour out your spirit on this region. Now, God, we're not waiting for anything external or worldly. We're crying out to you, God, because you're greater. You're greater. Somebody tell him, God, you're greater. 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 We glorify you. We exalt you, the greater one.